Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fast my welcome along to update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 20th of May, and it's time for half an hour of the latest news on and from the Isle of Man. Coming up, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon has returned to the island after a top-level meeting in Downing Street. What's the latest with the family library? We have an update from Timwald, and we'll also find out how a new senior leadership team at Isle of Man Meats plans to improve relations with the island's food producers. All that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. As always, let us know your thoughts. Text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast am I, Siobhan.
Fast am I, good evening. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture does not have the capacity to provide further financial support for the family library within the current budget constraints. That was the message given to politicians during today's sitting of Timwald. MLC Paul Crane was speaking on behalf of the department.
It ceased to be part of a service provided by the department in 2011, so it's a long time since that involvement has been there.
Douglas City Council says a letter sent to registered childminders was the result of an administrative error. Shocked childminders took to social media yesterday about the correspondence, which warned that waste generated from their properties could not be included in household waste collections and was not covered by domestic rates. Additional visitors during TT won't fundamentally increase the risk of blue-tongue cattle disease reaching Manx shores, according to the Agriculture Minister. Claire Barber faced questions about the outbreak in Timwald this morning and said that whilst the illness is a concern for the island's farming sector, the racing fortnight doesn't increase the threat.
Whilst the spread of blue-tongue into the Lancaster area is concerning, this disease is spread by midges and is not carried or transmitted by people or equipment.
And the successor to Lars Uglund as the chairman of the steam packet company has been named. Dan Clegg has been appointed to sit alongside the six other board members. Further afield, the UK Foreign Secretary's hit out at Israel's renewed military offensive in Gaza and the 11-week blockade on aid entering the territory, calling it indefensible and cruel. He says the UK is suspending free trade talks with the Israeli government. The father of an 11-year-old girl who drowned at a water park in Berkshire says she was a beaming beacon of light. An inquest found Kyra Hill was unlawfully killed at Liquid Leisure near Windsor in August 2022. And it's thought millions of British consumers could be eligible for up to £70 in compensation under a settlement against MasterCard. There are your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Guramayat, thank you, Siobhan. The weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Likely to stay dry now for this evening with hazy sunny spells, then dry overnight. Light and variable winds and a minimum temperature of 9 degrees. Lengthy spells of warm sunshine tomorrow with light and variable winds and a top temperature of 19 degrees. Cooler on Thursday and Friday, but still with sunny spells, then gradually turning more unsettled into the weekend, I'm afraid to say. Sunset tonight at 23 minutes past 9. Sunrise tomorrow morning at 6 minutes past 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremor Estate. View philshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man in a van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And the time now, 5 past 5, starting with the family library. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture does not have the capacity to provide further financial support for the charity within the current budget constraints. That was the message given to politicians during today's sitting of Tynwald. Speaking on behalf of the department, MLC Paul Crane told members it also lacks the physical resources to oversee its management. He said the charity's impending closure is not a matter the DESC has to get involved in. But that's a stance which has been critiqued by the mover of today's urgent question, Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper.
So I think it's just an unwillingness on the part of government, and you heard that this morning, you know, the education department saying it's not our responsibility, it's not our job to help this sort this out. And actually, it kind of is. You know, back in 2020, the council ministers put a report together that said we should sort out the long-term funding of organisations of the family library, because everyone recognises they provide quite a valuable service, especially the mobile library, which is the area that Mike's constituent are most concerned about. And so that's what we said back in 2020, 5 years ago, and the government just hasn't really moved on it. And it's because I think the education department, like you heard today, are saying, well, it's not our statutory responsibility, so we're not touching this one. And I think that's to lose sight of the broader social benefits that are provided, and that, you know, actually, if you want these services, you are going to have to find some support for them. And I know the Treasury have been offering support in recent years, but that's declining. You see that from the accounts. The support is going to disappear at some point in the near future. And actually, is that a long-term sustainable model for a library? We all know libraries are not for-profit organisations. They're not designed to make money. They are a service for the public. And I think if government is intent on supporting a service, they should be clear about that. And if they are happy to leave it and say no, we think that can close, I think they need to be quite honest about that position, because there will be people on the island that lose out if that service disappears. We heard today that Henry Blue Noble School doesn't have a school library. They rely on the family library service as well. So if the government is content to allow that provision to disappear, they need to look at what the impact is going to be on our communities and put something in place to at least pick up where that leaves off. I suspect that would be more expensive than simply continuing to support a service that we already have.
Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper there, speaking about the family library, which after 14 years has said it's no longer financially viable and is expected to close from the end of July. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon has returned to the island after a top-level meeting in Downing Street. He and representatives from the other Crown dependencies were invited to be part of the announcement of the UK's reset talks with the European Union and engage in discussion with Cabinet Ministers over matters of mutual interest. Mr. Cannon's been talking about the visit with Christian Jones.
So I think it's been a culmination, really, of 3 years quite hard work. We've got some serious discussions underway with the UK government, particularly around offshore wind and the need for us to be part of the CFD rounds and have proper access to the UK grid, because otherwise we're not going to have a marketplace for any renewable opportunities that are developed offshore on the island. We've also had some quite serious discussions around beneficial ownership recently. I was down in London and met Dan Jarvis, the security minister. We met with Nick Thomas-Simmons in terms of what the UK were discussing in the EU, and of course we have a very important relationship in terms of our customs and excise relationship with the United Kingdom. So there's a number of important matters, and of course we build on a figure that was released by the Department for Business around a calculation that they did, that the Crown dependencies were contributing about 14% of all foreign direct investment into the UK. And I think that recognition in terms of the role that we can play in supporting the British economy has become more recognised in the UK government. And of course, you know, we need to continue to build on that and ensure that we are in the UK's thoughts and part of indeed negotiations that are taking place with, at the moment, the Gulf Cooperation Council, but also other negotiations and free trade agreements that they are undertaking.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's 9 minutes past five. Government is to release details of a new immigration health surcharge in the summer. In a statement, Cabinet Minister David Ashford referred to frequent discussions about what new arrivals are and should be entitled to when coming to the island. That includes access to the NHS. Mr. Ashford said the measure would be based on a similar UK charge and that the emphasis would be on fairness.
Mr. President, there are lots of public myths relating to what new arrivals are entitled to when they arrive too. Again, let me clarify. New arrivals to the Isle of Man are required to contribute before accessing key services. This is a matter of fairness. For example, the contributions-based job seekers allowance, you need to have paid into the NI fund for at least 2 years. You need to be a resident for 5 years to be entitled to income support or married to or a child of that resident. You also need to be resident for 5 years to access our first-time buyer equity scheme and resident for 10 years before you are eligible to apply for public sector housing alongside all the other criteria that applies. Currently, those who are ordinarily resident can access NHS services. If you're a new arrival, that means from the moment you arrive and potentially before you have made any contribution. It is important that everyone who lives here has access to healthcare, but we need to make that access fair. So this government will be bringing forward an order in council to Tim Wood in July to enable the introduction of an immigration health surcharge modelled on the UK charge. The new immigration health surcharge will ensure that people coming to the Isle of Man via any visa route contribute fairly to NHS services. Work is underway now on the details, including the precise scope of services covered by the charge and potential exemptions. As an immigration health surcharge, the charge will not apply to citizens from the UK, Ireland, Jersey or Guernsey. Our aim is to introduce the immigration health surcharge within this financial year, and the Treasury Minister will set out details in July.
That was Cabinet Minister David Ashford speaking earlier today in Tynwald. A new senior leadership team has been announced at Isle of Man Meets in a move it's hoped that will help restore trust in the organisation. Last year, the management of the meat plant faced a vote of no confidence by the Manx National Farmers Union following a series of processing delays and cancellations. Michael Barker is the new general manager. He's spent decades in retail, wholesale and food service sectors and has a background as a fully trained butcher. I went down to meet him and found out more about the new team's priorities.
It was a great opportunity when I seen it advertised. I had dealt with Damien previously, the chair of the board. I did supply one of his companies over in Dubai, and he asked me to come along and have a little look, which I did do in January. And I think it's a great little company. It just needs a bit of direction.
Tell us about this new senior leadership team, of course. You are general manager. What's the aim? What's the priorities?
The priorities really is to just sort of be more cohesive. We've got a great head of finance, a great head of HR, Garth, head of compliance and procurement, fantastic CV, and Mike as well, who's head of production. We all have our good parts, which are linking together to make us a great team. I think Damien's made a great choice in choosing these people and putting us all together. And we've been together now, 8 weeks, 10 weeks? And we're really working together as a team. There's been no hiccups so far, and it's just forward. Not just the team here, but the team below us as well, and the team around us. The guys in production, the guys in dispatch, the farmers on the field, everybody works together to try and get us where we are.
And what can you tell us about this direction in terms of food security? What have you learned so far about the island's unique challenges, let's say?
I think the company itself has probably had bad press previously, and it's lost trust with some of the producers. I've met one or two of them already, and I think we just need to get the producers to trust us a bit more to produce more stuff on the island. I hate it when the guys are sending stuff off island and it goes elsewhere. Everything should be homegrown. I'm going around the butcher shops, I'm going around the retailers, I'm trying to promote more Manx meat on the shelves with these guys. And they're coming aboard now. I know it's only been 10 weeks, but I can see green shoots there.
How are UK and Manx sales going at the minute? Where do you see that heading?
In the sort of 10 weeks we've been here already, we have changed that balance. There's still more product going off island than staying on island, but we've reduced that right down. I'm going to continue to work on that over the next coming weeks and see how far we can get with that. The butchers are very receptive. I've met some of the retailers as well. Some of the larger retailers, and they want Manx meat on their shelf. We just have to pin down the quality side of it on our end. So by speaking to the producers, saying this is the grades we need, this is the grades we require, please push more of this through the plant. It's a fascinating job. It really is.
That's Michael Barker from Isle of Man Meats. You can find out more information, including the list of who makes up that new senior leadership team, over at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
We'll take a look at the roads now, and no new updates from police, I'm happy to report. In Douglas, temporary lights on the new Castletown Road between the Springfield Road and Annika Lane junctions for repairs to a collapsed culvert and wall. In Glenmona, temporary lights on the Coast Road 24 hours a day for emergency manhole repairs there. If you're travelling off island, no problems to report over at the airport this evening. And on the sailings, Manannan will be arriving in Liverpool in just over 20 minutes' time. And the Manxman is sailing back from Heysham as we speak, due to arrive here in Douglas at 5 to 7. If you spot anything out on the roads this evening, let us know. If it's safe to do so, 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And the time now is 5:15. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood says she fully understands the anger and frustration felt by people who missed flights as a result of delays caused by problems with security equipment at Ronalds Way Airport this weekend. The issues arose during a scheduled shutdown of the system. She's been talking to Simon Richardson.
So it happened because we were doing some planned maintenance, and in fact this was the third of these planned maintenance periods that we were working through. We've previously closed the power off to that part of the building, started it up again, and everything's been fine. So we've done that twice. On the third iteration, that the machines wouldn't restart again. So particularly the security scanners, one of them wouldn't start up at all, and the other one started up and decided it was still going to be a bit glitchy. So we kept having problems with it. And the engineers have worked very hard to try and get us back to a functional airport. Is it acceptable? No, clearly not. We caused delays to people's flights yesterday, and I understand and I sympathise with the concern that was expressed by people and the anger that they expressed. Was it foreseeable? Absolutely not, because we've shut down twice in the past and it's not been an issue. The same procedures were followed this time, as far as I understand, and for some reason we've had an issue. So we're working to understand what the cause was.
A number of passengers actually missed their flights. And of course, had it been the airline's fault, they could have claimed compensation. In this case, it's the airport itself. Can they claim against it?
In their first instance, the advice for the passengers is to go and talk to their airlines. And if they decide that the issue rests with them, then they will be paying compensation. But where it's out of control, passengers will need to contact their travel insurance.
Some people have been suggesting that maybe this kind of routine process should have been carried out at a quieter time, such as maybe after the TT.
It was actually, as I said, it was the third in a series of planned maintenance bits. And it's important that we keep on top of the planned maintenance, because otherwise you'll get sudden catastrophic failure, and that would be infinitely worse. At the point where we've got engineers on site and we've closed things down to do the maintenance that we needed to do, you know, we were doing it working overnight, and it's just the next morning when things turned on again, some of the equipment refused to play ball.
And we saw those queues stretching right the way through pre-departures for security over the weekend. That was Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood speaking there to Simon Richardson. 5:17. Government is looking to increase freezer space in the event of a food crisis. Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber has been questioned by a Tynwald Review Committee. Mrs. Barber said there could be circumstances where shortages resulted on the island. And at present, she admitted, storage space was limited.
Some of the work that the department's done is around rationing options and looking at how that would be managed, should we ever get to the point where that was needed. Some of the work is talking to producers who at the minute may produce a relatively small quantity of something, but actually if there was a time where we needed to increase the local production of something, you could put on 3 or 4 shifts a day. So you would take the same machinery and the same facility, but you would be able to process considerably more because of how we would be able to support that, because there was a crisis. So you'd have to be able to justify that situation. But we can see that there are definitely areas where we could increase production at relatively short notice. And we saw that happening also during COVID, where we were able to flip to a local production. But also understanding we couldn't do that for a sustained period of time if we couldn't get the base products, because there's only so much that has been grown. We've also talked about the opportunity to take things that currently are exported. So I talk about some of our shellfish, for example, and actually in a time of crisis, there would be the opportunity to make sure that stayed on island. There's a fine balance between making sure we're prepared and not causing widespread panic. So we know that there's quite a significant demand for increased freezer storage, and that is a space that we're conscious of and looking at how we can support increasing that, because that would allow the stored product that we have to be an increased volume, which obviously naturally just means we have availability for a longer period of time should we have an issue where we couldn't import.
That's Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister Claire Barber there. And you can listen back and find a full report from that committee meeting over at manxradio.com. Now, a new chair of Jerby Commissioners was chosen at its annual general meeting last night. Darren Hope will serve in the role for the next year and says his main focus will be working to get the new children's play area installed.
Yeah, looking forward to how we're going to go and where we're going to go from here.
And you've got two new members of the board from the elections, and you're also looking for by-election. So how pleased are you that two people have stepped forward to fill the gaps that people have left?
Yeah, and they're keen, Phil and Yaz, they seem keen. Obviously, we do need two more, but hopefully we'll fill those vacancies as well.
What do you think are the biggest challenges facing the board at the moment?
The bus service, really. I think that's quite a regular bus service is quite a thing that needs addressing. They're just the running, really, of Jerby.
Your vice chair is Philip. Yeah. How looking forward are you to working with him over the next year?
I've known Phil for a lot of years, and he's keen, and look forward to working with him, and hopefully we can help things go better.
What are you looking forward to getting stuck into, or is there anything you want to start, or any projects you've got in mind that you'd like to continue?
The last board, we're working towards getting a new play park, and that's going to be, hopefully we're going to carry on and try and get the wheels in motion. We did a lot of fundraising with the last board, and we just want to get that into motion now, really, if we can. So, yeah, that's one thing we want to do is get the new play park up and running.
That's the new chair of Jerby Commissioners, Darren Hope, speaking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper there. The time now coming up to 22 minutes past five, and despite winning both races and lapping the mountain course at over 120 mile per hour in 2024, the reigning Sidecar TT champions say there's always a million things you can do to keep improving. Manx brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe will be looking to defend their title when the races return in 6 days' time.
We have worked quite hard this year to develop it even further than we did last year. There's been a lot of technical changes. All have been progress. Everything's worked well. Everything's worked how we want it to work. So, yeah, you know, fingers crossed, everything pulls together and it's even more of a missile than it was last year.
Callum, when I spoke to you both this time last year, one thing that you both pointed out was that you felt that you were really ahead of schedule. How does that compare this year?
Yeah, we're ahead of schedule. That's good.
Looking at the rest of the orders, a few more newcomers coming in, both drivers and passengers as well. How encouraging is it that we're still getting that stream of newcomers into sidecar racing at the TT?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure these boys will perform well. They're all high quality riders and passengers, and you know, I'm sure there's a few more world champions that would like to come here, which I think we might see next year as well. So the grid's only getting stronger, so it's just, it's great for our sport and great for the Armand TT. So, fingers crossed, it keeps growing.
And Ryan, we see every so often people wondering about, you know, what the future is for sidecar racing. How important is it the likes of the TT do well just to showcase sidecar racing continually, to keep the interest in there and keep the demand in there?
It's massive. You know, I think if the TT didn't run sidecars, there wouldn't be any F2 sidecars there, like, racing anymore, if you know what I mean. There might be the odd club meeting and stuff, but I know for a fact if the TT said, oh, that's it now, no more F2 sidecars at the TT, mine would be for sale and it'd be gone. I like the long bikes, I like racing them, but it's one of them. If somebody said to me, you can either race the TT for 2 weeks of the year or do the British Championship on a long bike all year, I'd sell all my long bikes and I'd go TT.
TT sidecar champions Ryan and Callum Crowe.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The brothers there speaking to Manx Radio sports editor Rob Pritchard, who joins us in the studio now. 6 days to go, Rob. How are preparations going?
All very well, and it has crept up, hasn't it? I think we've actually spoken about it in the office quite a bit, just with the busy day-to-day life, and I'm sure it's probably the same for competitors and volunteers alike involved with the TT. It just seems to have all come round so quickly. I think we're just hoping upon hope that some of the great weather we've had sticks around for the race in Fortnite.
You've seen those trailers, the webcam from the grandstand at the minute. Developments going on as we speak. But in terms of sport around the island, Rob, you have an update.
Yes, indeed. So let's start by just taking a look at tennis, because former Ireland player Billy Harris has been knocked out in the first round of qualifying for the men's singles at this year's French Open. Well, Harris, who counts Albany and Castletown among his previous clubs, has been beaten in straight sets 7-5, 6-3 by fellow Brit Dan Evans at Roland Garros this afternoon. Well, last year in the same qualifying tournament, he came to within one win of a place in the main draw at the Grand Slam before exiting in the third qualifying round. Well, Harris came into this week's competition ranked 103rd in the world and reached the last 16 in Bordeaux on the ATP Challenger Tour last week. Elsewhere, Isle of Man Cricket Association has announced the women's national squad to make its debut in the ICC Women's World Cup qualifiers later this week. Well, in total, 14 players have been chosen to represent the Ireland side, heading to Rome in Italy on Friday, with the tournament itself taking place from the 25th to the 29th of May. The Isle of Man will compete in Europe Qualifier Division 2 and will face Germany, Italy, Jersey, Spain and Sweden, with fixtures being played either at Roma Cricket Ground or Seymour Cricket Ground. The top two teams from the qualifying group will advance to the Europe Qualifier, where they'll face national teams from Ireland and the Netherlands for a place in the global qualifiers. Well, you can view the Isle of Man's ICC qualifying team and schedule on our website. And finally, in football, Ramsey AFC's under-21 side have won this year's Cowell Cup competition with a 3-0 victory over Russian United last night. The Northerners took the lead shortly before the half-hour mark, courtesy of Callum Hudson, before Ryan Kelly struck home before the break. And into the second period, Ramsey made sure of taking home the silverware when Charlie Higgins fired home to net a third for his side. This marks the second trophy Ramsey has claimed across all competitions this campaign and a second piece of silverware in 2 days. Separately, the men's first team beat Laxey 3-0 last Saturday to retain the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup.
Rob Pritchard. Gromayed. That's it for Update tonight. Howard Kane is here next with Ireland Life, and at 6, Chris Kinley is here with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast, available shortly over at manxradio.com. In the meantime, have a great evening. Enjoy the sunshine while you can. Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.